Chapter 6. Our future. Star Trek or not? How biological and electronic life will go on developing in complexity at an ever-increasing rate. The reason Star Trek is so popular is because it's a safe and comforting vision of the future. I'm a bit of a Star Trek fan myself, so I was easily persuaded to take part in an episode in which I played poker with Newton, Einstein, and Commander Data. I beat them all, but unfortunately there was a red alert, so I never collected my winnings. Star Trek shows a society that is far in advance of ours in science, in technology, and in political organization. The last might not be difficult. There must have been great changes, with their accompanying tensions and upsets, in the time between now and then. But in the period we're shown, science, technology, and the organization of society are supposed to have achieved a level of near perfection. I want to question this picture and ask if we will ever reach a final steady state in science and technology. At no time in the 10,000 years or so since the last ice age has the human race been in a state of constant knowledge and fixed technology. There have been a few setbacks, like the Dark Ages after the fall of the Roman Empire, but the world's population, which is a measure of our technological ability to preserve life and feed ourselves, has risen steadily, with only a few hiccups, such as the Black Death. In the last 200 years, population growth has become exponential. That is, the population grows by the same percentage each year. Currently, the rate is about 1.9% a year. That may not sound like very much, but it means that the world population doubles every 40 years. Other measures of technological development in recent times are electricity consumption and the number of scientific articles. They too show exponential growth, with doubling times of less than 40 years. There's no sign that scientific and technological development will slow down and stop in the near future, certainly not by the time of Star Trek, which is supposed to be not that far in the future. But if the population growth and the increase in the consumption of electricity continue at their current rates, by 2600, the world's population will be standing shoulder to shoulder, and electricity use will make the Earth glow red hot. If you stacked all the new books being published next to each other, you would have to move at 90 miles an hour just to keep up with the end of the line. Of course, by 2600, new artistic and scientific work will come in electronic forms rather than as physical books and papers. Nevertheless, if the exponential growth continued, there would be 10 papers a second in my kind of theoretical physics, and no time to read them. Clearly, the present exponential growth can't continue indefinitely. So what will happen? One possibility is that we'll wipe ourselves out completely by some disaster, such as a nuclear war. There's a sick joke that the reason we've not been contacted by extraterrestrials is that when a civilization reaches our stage of development, it becomes unstable and destroys itself. However, I'm an optimist. I don't believe the human race has come so far just to snuff itself out when things are getting interesting. The Star Trek vision of the future, that we achieve an advanced but essentially static level, may come true in respect of our knowledge of the basic laws that govern the universe. As I shall describe in the next chapter, there may be an ultimate theory that we'll discover in the not-too-distant future. This ultimate theory, if it exists, will determine whether the Star Trek dream of warp drive can be realized. According to present ideas, we shall have to explore the galaxy in a slow and tedious manner, using spaceships traveling slower than light. But since we don't yet have a complete unified theory, we can't quite rule out warp drive. On the other hand, we already know the laws that hold in all but the most extreme situations, the laws that govern the crew of the Enterprise, if not the spaceship itself. Yet it doesn't seem that we'll ever reach a steady state in the uses we make of these laws or in the complexity of the systems that we can produce with them. It is with this complexity that the rest of this chapter will be concerned. By far the most complex systems that we have are our own bodies. Life seems to have originated in the primordial oceans that covered the Earth 4 billion years ago. How this happened, we don't know. It may be that random collisions between atoms built up macromolecules that could reproduce themselves and assemble themselves into more complicated structures. What we do know is that by 3.5 billion years ago, the highly complicated DNA molecule had emerged. DNA is the basis for all life on Earth. It has a double helix structure like a spiral staircase, which was discovered by Francis Crick and James Watson in the Cavendish Lab at Cambridge in 1953. The two strands of the double helix are linked by pairs of nucleic acids, like the treads in a spiral staircase. There are four kinds of nucleic acids: cytosine, guanine, tyrosine, and adenosine. The order in which the different nucleic acids occur along the spiral staircase carries the genetic information that enables the DNA molecule to assemble an organism around it and reproduce itself. As the DNA makes copies of itself, there are occasional errors in the order of the nucleic acids along the spiral. In most cases, the mistakes in copying make the DNA either unable or less likely to reproduce itself, meaning that such genetic errors or mutations, as they're called, will die out. But in a few cases, the error or mutation will increase the chances of the DNA surviving and reproducing. Such changes in the genetic code will be favored. This is how the information contained in the sequence of nucleic acids gradually evolves and increases in complexity. Because biological evolution is basically a random walk in the space of all genetic possibilities, it's been very slow. The complexity, or numbers of bits of information that is coded in DNA, is roughly the number of nucleic acids in the molecule. For the first 2 billion years or so, the rate of increase in complexity must have been of the order of one bit of information every 100 years. The rate of increase of DNA complexity gradually rose to about one bit a year over the last few million years. But then, about 6 or 8 thousand years ago, a major new development occurred. We developed written language. This meant that information could be passed from one generation to the next without having to wait for the very slow process of random mutations and natural selection to code it into the DNA sequence. The amount of complexity increased enormously. A single paperback romance could hold as much information as the difference in the DNA between apes and humans, and a 30-volume encyclopedia could describe the entire sequence of human DNA. Even more important, the information in books can be updated rapidly. The current rate at which human DNA is being updated by biological evolution is about one bit a year. But there are 200,000 new books published each year, a new information rate of over 1 million bits a second. Of course, most of this information is garbage, but even if only one bit in a million is useful, that is still 100,000 times faster than biological evolution. This transmission of data through external, non-biological means has led the human race to dominate the world and to have an exponentially increasing population. But now we're at the beginning of a new era in which we'll be able to increase the complexity of our internal record, the DNA, without having to wait for the slow process of biological evolution. There has been no significant change in human DNA in the last 10,000 years, but it is likely that we'll be able to completely redesign it in the next 1,000. Of course, many people will say the genetic engineering of humans should be banned, but it's doubtful we'll be able to prevent it. Genetic engineering of plants and animals will be allowed for economic reasons, and someone is bound to try it on humans. Unless we have a totalitarian world order, someone somewhere will design improved humans. Clearly, creating improved humans will create great social and political problems with respect to unimproved humans. My intention is not to defend human genetic engineering as a desirable development, but just to say it's likely to happen whether we want it or not. This is the reason why I don't believe science fiction like Star Trek, where people 400 years into the future are essentially the same as we are today.